I'm happy to be here with you. Whenever I have an opportunity to share with anyone about the ministry in Romania, you need to give me 3 or 4 or 5 hours. The Lord has given me a ministry there in Romania. I didn't intend to start a ministry in Romania, but the Lord had other plans, and that's another story. Maybe sometime I can share with you how it was that my wife and I became involved with the Christians in Romania, but tonight my purpose is to share with you not what I am doing in Romania, but what the Christians in Romania are doing. In the video that I have that will begin here shortly, it's not so long, maybe 15 minutes, maybe a little bit longer than that, but you will see the Romanian people in their own churches, in their own environment, doing what the Lord has called them to do in their own country. And so you say, well, then what are you doing there, Dave? If you are not a missionary there, then what are you doing there? Well, it is my joy to be able to go there, to encourage those who are serving the Lord, the Romanian people who are serving their own people, to encourage them to keep on keeping on. So many of them are leaving Romania now, particularly the young people. They are leaving there to go to some of the surrounding countries that have more wealth, and they are forsaking what they had been doing, maybe teaching Sunday school class. Maybe even they were elders or deacons in their church. But they are leaving all of that to go into the other countries surrounding to try to make their fortune. It is something that I warned them about on my very first visit into Romania. When I went to Romania in that first year, I went with Brother Carl Smith, and he was introducing me to a family that my wife and I wanted to support. How that came about is another story, but when I went there, I was 20, almost 25 years younger then, and I went there with sermons prepared because Carl told me you will have opportunity to preach in many churches, and I went with sermons prepared. But when I got there, the Lord shut my mouth. I could not preach the sermons that I prepared to preach there, because I saw them in their poverty, and I listened to their stories of how many of them had been in prison. Some of their fathers, even mothers, had been killed by the communist regime under Ceausescu. I sat at their tables and ate their meager food, and they would tell me these stories, and the Lord shut my mouth. And so they still said, we want to hear you preach. What was I going to preach? The Lord took it away from me. And so the Lord told me, you will tell them the truth about yourself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is a hard thing to do. But the Lord gave grace that I was able to share with them about my life in America, about how I had gotten caught up in the mainstream of things and enjoying life and enjoying what the Lord had allowed us to have. And my life in America had really become routine. My Christian life had become routine. And after I shared that with them and had tears in their pulpit, I called home a few days after I was there, and I said to my mother, she was living then, my father had already died and got home to be with the Lord. I said to my mother, when I preach, all the people cry. And I can still hear her. You shouldn't make the people cry. That was my mother. You shouldn't make the people cry. I said, I don't make them cry. I'm just telling what the Lord told me to tell them. And I cry with them. And so my ministry began in Romania. I never intended to go back to Romania. I only went there with the intention to meet a family that my wife and I desired before the Lord to help, to assist, as they served the Lord in Romania in their poverty. I have been back 23 times. And so why do I go there? To encourage the Christians to continue to keep on keeping on. It's not so different from what I do here in Michigan as I travel amongst mostly the small assemblies around Michigan. To encourage them to keep on keeping on and not to give up. Because we have a story to tell. We have a great heritage amongst the brethren assemblies. And I encourage them not to give it up. And so, I wanted to start out tonight reading to you an excerpt from a book that I just finished reading. It's a true story. A story about a woman who was Orthodox in Romania. And she went to a gospel meeting amongst the brethren, and she got saved. She came to know the Lord. She was an educated woman. She'd been to university and she was studying to be an attorney. And the Lord saved her. And so she decided that under the Ceausescu regime, he was the evil dictator who was persecuting the Christians. You know, there are two groups in Romania. There are the Christians that they call the repenters. The brethren are called repenters. And those evangelical churches that join with the brethren there that are not Orthodox, they are all called repenters. So you have the Orthodox church, and then you have the repenters. And thanks be unto God that the repenters tell the truth. They preach the gospel in its entirety. In Virginia, Proden is this woman's name. And she got saved, came to know the Lord, and decided that if she was going to be an attorney, she was going to defend the Christians who were being persecuted, imprisoned, even put up to be killed, to be assassinated, and to go to court against Ceausescu. And she did. And she did that for several years. And all the time being threatened by the Ceausescu government that they were going to imprison her. And finally they began to threaten her life. They were going to kill her. But she still kept on. She kept on. And defended hundreds upon hundreds of Christians who would otherwise be in prison. The American government got behind her. The British government got behind her. And they put it on the radio airways all over the world. And so Ceausescu was afraid to touch her. And he didn't until this moment in time that I'm going to read to you right now. She had for many months and several years been defending the Christians under that threat. She is an attorney in Romania, and she has her own office. And here is what it says. My legal assistant walked into my office and said to me, a big man in the waiting room says he wants to discuss a case. And then my assistant shrugged and says, that's all he will tell me. It was time for her to go home, the end of the day. And so Virginia dismissed her and sent her home. I followed her to the reception room and invited the tall, muscular man waiting there to follow me. As he entered my office, he ran his huge hand over the silver door plate reading on my door, Virginia Proden, attorney. He very deliberately took his hand and ran across it. And then he closed the door behind us. I was taken aback at how enormous he was. As he sat down in front of my desk, his eyes seemed to bore a hole straight through me, and a sneer began to turn at the corner of his mouth. And suddenly I knew. And I said to myself, Securitat. That was those that worked under Kosciuszko to carry out his arrests and his assassins. Securitat. My blood ran cold. How could I have been so careless? Slowly he pulled back his coat and reached into a shoulder holster, withdrawing a gun. And then he said, "You have failed to heed the warnings you've been given." And he pointed the gun toward me. "I have come here to finish the matter once and for all. I have come here to kill you." My hands shook. Fight or flight instincts pinged in my brain. I couldn't fight. I was only 5 feet tall. I was no match for this monster, nor could I flee. I would never get past him to the closed door. My chin trembled. An image flashed through my mind. My assistant arriving in the morning and finding my lifeless body riddled with bullets on the floor of my office. As my mind raced, the gunman exclaimed in a calm, almost business-like tone, exactly how he was going to carry out his execution. My mind continued to race. I could scream, but who would hear me? This late in the day, the building would be almost empty. My assassin had planned it that way, of course, so that no one could come to my aid. Fear froze me to my chair. Nothing, not interrogation or arrest that I had experienced before, had rendered me so desperate and helpless. This assassin's stone-faced determination and gleaming gun decreed that I had finally met my end. I'll stop there for the sake of time. You can, I'm not promoting this book, really, I'm not. But you can buy it at family bookstores. It just came out not too long ago, and it's a true story about this woman. And just to finish the story in a few words, before that man left her office that night, she led him to the Lord. She pointed out to him that there was a reason for him to live, that God had put him in her office that night for a reason. And in spite of her fear, God gave her the courage and led him to the Lord. He put his gun back in his holster and he left the office with these words, "I will see you in your church on Sunday." But she didn't see him, because other officers came and arrested her and put her under house arrest, and she was not allowed to leave her house for a month. And then the American government made arrangements to pull her out of Romania and bring her to America and establish her here. She is a practicing attorney now down in the southern part of the country, somewhere in the southern states. She tells the story about how that there in her office, I think Tennessee is what she said, No, I'm sorry, Houston. It was Houston, Texas. I remember now. I'm getting old, you know, I can't. Down in Houston, Texas. And a man walked into her office. He was a big man. She thought she recognized him, but she didn't know for sure. He called her by name and asked about her daughters and how they were doing. And she was surprised. How would this man know about my family? And then he said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I was the man who came to your office that night to kill you. Wow. He told her, after Ceaușescu was assassinated 1 year after you were taken out of Romania, Ceaușescu was assassinated 1 year later. He immediately went to a theological seminary in Bucharest, went through the Bible training, and now he is a practicing pastor in Romania. God still reigns. Praise the Lord. Praise God for that. Well, I put my wife gave me this book just a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even know it existed. She had seen it advertised in the family bookstore magazine that comes to our house. She went and purchased it and gave it to me. And she said, "This is a gift for you." I took it, I looked at it, and wow, this is amazing. I sat down and started to read it. I read it almost entirely through the first sitting, because I know all of these places where she was. I've been in all of those towns. I've been in all of those churches. I've been amongst all of those people. And then to read a true life story in the wake of having already met many of those Christians in Romania who have been in prison for their faith in Jesus Christ. So, I have a video I want to show you, and I'll show you that now. It's not about me. It's about the Christians in Romania. And you'll see them in their own environment, in their own churches. And you will see, you will go into a gypsy church. You will hear them sing, rejoice with them. You will go into a small assembly where I preach often, and there you will hear two men sing without accompaniment, a cappella. They are two shepherds from the fields. A few years ago, I had the joy of being able to go in Romania and spend two nights up in the mountains with the shepherds. And while I was there, I was able to share the gospel with them around the campfire at night. These two men who are singing came to know the Lord and have been shepherded and encouraged by the Romanian people that we encourage in Romania now. It's not about me. It's all about them and what God is doing there. My son was there with me in Romania in this last trip. You will see him briefly as he plays his guitar and sings in Romanian. You know, he picked it up so quick. But he is young and he can do that. I am old and my brain is so thick and doesn't work so good. And I've been going 23 years and I can hardly say hello to someone in Romania. No, I can do that. I can find my way around Romania if I had to. But I would have to be very desperate to go on my own. But you will see this. And you will rejoice with me in what the Lord is doing. And then I will have time at the end just to share a couple of scriptures with you to encourage you tonight to keep on keeping on what you are doing here in America, and to encourage wherever the Lord's work is going on, to encourage it to keep on keeping on. And so now I will see if I can figure out how to work this apparatus here. Bob showed me about 20 minutes ago, but that was 20 minutes ago, and I've probably forgotten already. So I will let Bob start it. Thank you, Bob. Can I move this a little bit this way? Then I'll be out of the way of anyone who is. I will interject some thoughts as the movie is showing. If we could have the lights dimmed, is that possible? They are asking me if my knee is hurting, and I'm saying not so bad, but it's okay. So we are heading down the road, and we're heading towards a little assembly, a little church, and you will see the Christians there as they are singing and praising the Lord in their own environment. And there you will see the two shepherds. And I want to tell you, their singing is so awesome, so beautiful. You will see. Many of these here are gypsies in this assembly. This is my son playing and singing in Romanian. They're singing with him. These are the two shepherds who came to know the Lord. They are shepherds being shepherded by their own people. Can you imagine what Nashville could do with these two men? They would ruin them. I want to apologize for the dates that you see on the screen. It was a borrowed camera, and I didn't know that the dates were in there, and they are not correct. So you will forgive me for that, please. But these were taken in my last trip, 2015, for 2016. Thank you. I'm sorry to have them sing so long, but when I'm taping these, I can't bear to turn it off. I love to hear them so much. These are the shepherd's wives. Now we are entering a gypsy church. I have preached here many times, but it is a true gypsy church. They are all gypsies. This is a very large church in Brasov, an assembly of brethren church, and I can't get out of the country in Romania without preaching there if they find out I am there. They've made me a member of their church, and I don't know what to say about that, except if I live to be 100, I don't believe I will ever receive a greater honor than having them make me a member of their church. What you're hearing in the background are mandolins. They have a whole choir of mandolins. This is another assembly near there, Codlea. This is the same assembly, and they are singing the farewell song to me on that Sunday night because they know they won't see me for at least a year. The tune is familiar, but the words are something like, "The Lord watch between me and thee while we are apart." These are all the elders of the assembly sitting in the front. My translator there is Donna Mirza. You've heard that name many times, and her husband, Othniel. Her daughter, Phoebea. She is 18. She turned 18 while I was there, and when she was a tiny baby of a few months, she used to bounce in my arms while I sing "Jesus Loves Me." Now we are on our way to one of the great ministries in Romania. It is actually an orphanage that is run by a very wealthy businessman in Romania. He came to know the Lord through the gospel preaching from the assemblies. He was a very wicked and evil man before he came to know the Lord, and Now he uses his money to build this orphanage to take children off the streets. And he is truly Romanian and uses his money to support this work. You can see how excited the children are. They think they are going to Hollywood now because there is a movie camera there. My son Chad. Says he is evil Knievel. Donna and some of the girls from the Riznov Assembly, which is my home assembly when I am in Romania, teach here. And they carry on five-day clubs here as well during the summertime.
Very sick. food I like in Romania, you get. Pizza, yes, pizza. Very
stop this here now, but I don't know how to stop it, Bob, so we are at the end. Thank you. When I told them that Mamaliga was what I like to eat so much, many of them went, oh. They were raised on Mamaliga. It's just cornmeal. It is cornmeal cooked in hot water with a little salt added, and they were raised on that. It's a great dish in Romania. Great because most of them can afford nothing else. So when I said I love Mamaliga, they said, oh, that's bad. So I wanted to show you that tonight because I want you to realize that the ministry I have in Romania is not about me. It is about the Christians in Romania who are being faithful to carry on the work of the Lord there. And many people wonder, you know, because I am out preaching amongst the assemblies in Michigan, and when I go to preach, they often give me an honorarium, as they do preachers when they come to the assemblies. And all of the honorariums that I receive go to this ministry in Romania. So that's why I keep on keeping on what I do here in Michigan, traveling amongst the assemblies that will invite me and to share with me in this ministry in Romania. I wanted to let you know tonight, too, just before we close, that the elders have allowed me to have a fund here at Northwest Gospel Hall. And if you had interest and wanted to help with that ministry, you can do so. And I encourage you to not to think in terms of large sums of money. People think, well, if I can't give a lot, then I just don't want to give anything. You would be amazed what the Lord can do with $1, what he can do with $5. You'd be amazed at what he can do with that. And you, if you had an interest in that and would like to have a part in that work that's going on there amongst the Christians in Romania, you can do so by putting your check in the offering plate on Sunday morning and marking it in the memo side, Romanian Fund. And the elders handle that through our brother Mark, who is our treasurer, and that gets wired directly into Romania. Anyway, I just wanted to encourage you, and I would like to end tonight's service with just this thought. To encourage you in whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do. Teach a Sunday school class, drive a Sunday school bus, sweep, mow the lawn, play the piano, whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do, to believe with all your heart that it's not in vain. You are making a contribution to the great work, the gospel work that is going forth all over this world. And the best thing we can do is just be faithful in what we are doing. I want to read just a couple of verses with you. It is in the wake of the Lord's dealings with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. And when his disciples came and saw him talking to her, they were amazed that he was talking to the Samaritan woman. And while they couldn't fully understand at that time why that he felt the need to talk to the Samaritan woman, they came to know later as they began to recognize the great gospel emphasis that would go out all over the world, not just to the Jews as the early Christians, the early Jewish Christians thought, but to the entire world, Gentiles, Jews alike, all of them. And so he told the disciples this. He says, starting at verse 34 in John chapter 4, Jesus saith unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. They are ready now. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. And then verse 38, I love so much. I sent you to reap that on which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we wonder if we're really doing any good. But all the Lord is asking for us to do is to be faithful. He's not asking us for results. He takes care of that. Just be faithful in what God has called you to do and recognize that your labor is not in vain. Maybe you spent all your life teaching Sunday school and never had one child come to know the Lord. But maybe sometime, who knows when you are old and can't teach anymore, or maybe after the Lord takes you home, some of those children will come to know the Lord and they'll remember what you taught them. And thus the verse, I have sent you, I have sent you to reap where you have not labored. Others have labored and now you are reaping. Not up to us. It's up to the Lord. So we leave the results with him just to be faithful. So thank you for the opportunity to share with you tonight about what's going on in Romania and to rejoice with the Christians there. And by all means, remember those two shepherds. I wake up at night and I hear them singing and I just praise God. I praise the Lord for them. So can we just close our service in prayer and we can go back into God's vineyard to be busy serving him. Now let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. Thank you that we have the joy of ministering to your people, that we have the joy of preaching the gospel. We have the joy of sowing the seed. Father, someone will have the joy of reaping, but he that soweth and he that reapeth rejoices to gather. Thank you, Father, for that hope. Thank you for that encouragement. And may we be encouraged to carry on faithfully the work of the Lord. For this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.